WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, Georgia High School Shooting. I'm Michelle Franzen. Authorities in Winder will provide an update on today's shooting at Appalachie High School. Multiple law enforcement officials tell ABC News 4 people are dead, 9 others injured after a gunman opened fire this morning, and say the suspect is a 14-year-old student. Shirley, a senior, says the normal day quickly turned to panic.
I heard some gunshots, and it appeared to be like, they were like...
16-year-old Layla says when the lockdown light went on in her class, her classmates huddled.
My classmates and I actually barricaded our door. We stacked desks and chairs to try and just help, and we were all just scared at this moment, and my teacher, she was also scared as well.
Vice President Kamala Harris denouncing the gun violence and called for reasonable gun safety laws. Former President Trump at a post blaming what he called a sick and deranged monster for the shooting and offered condolences. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The mayor of Waukesha is condemning a campaign ad that tries to link Senator Tammy Baldwin with the deaths of 6 people at the Waukesha Christmas Parade in 2021. Daryl Brooks Jr. was free on $1,000 bail at the time. Sean Riley says the claims in the ad are false and that they hurt the entire community. About 50,000 older people in Wisconsin can expect big savings on their prescriptions next year. Starting January 1st, out-of-pocket drug costs will be capped at $2,000 a year for people on Medicare Part D.
We have older Wisconsinites that are choosing either limiting their supply of their prescriptions, or they literally are taking resources that are used to pay for other essentials.
David Bowen is with AARP Wisconsin. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The NFL season begins tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Tonight, the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs kick off the season. Tomorrow night, it'll be the Green Bay Packers versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Quarterback Jordan Love is entering his second season as a starter and is excited for the opportunity to open the year in Brazil.
Yeah, I'm excited. I definitely think it's a very cool opportunity to be able to play in front of a fan base who a lot of those people might not have seen the NFL game, might be the first NFL game. So I'm excited for it. And like you said, first one. So it'll be very exciting.
Kickoff for the Packers and Eagles is after 7 p.m. tomorrow night. For the third time in 4 games, the Milwaukee Brewers had to play a game in extra innings, and in all 3 of those games, including last night, the Brewers lost. The St. Louis Cardinals took the game in 10 innings with a 3-2 win. The Brewers are off today before playing a 3-game home series against Colorado this weekend. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Everybody join us next time President Joe Biden visits Westby, Wisconsin in the Southwest. We will cover it for you. Have your phone calls as well. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. This is your hometown radio. Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny with a chance of an isolated thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high today, 81, with wind south to west at 5 to 15. Tonight, 53. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Fall-like, 68 Saturday. Sunshine, 66 by Sunday. Sunny with a high back to 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matt and Air and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us for a discussion on what's going on in her campaign for Congress. We also have J.R. Radcliffe with sports and weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Starting us off on a Thursday with the possibility of rain, basically, if you can hear my voice. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee. I've had a lot of people tell me that very few people can't hear my voice. Well, weather-wise, like I said, everybody's got a chance of rain today. The catch is that it's not going to be very measurable from what I'm seeing on the forecast. Looks like daytime highs today, again, probably in the upper 70s to low 80s. I think the best chance of rain is probably in western Wisconsin, but like I said, volume-wise, doesn't look like it's going to be much. There is a chance of thunderstorms out there, and of course, they can always produce measurable rain. We'll see what Stumacher Ag Meteorologist has to say about that. How are you doing on a Thursday? Yeah, today we're talking about how, yeah, the yellow school buses are back on the roads, and guess what? College campuses are back in action. We like to keep tabs on what's happening specifically at our agriculture campuses. Today, Charity Seebecker is going to give us a little update on what's happening at my alma mater, UW-River Falls, up in western Wisconsin. It's interesting. She told me yesterday the demographic changes that our College of Agriculture is seeing really, really noticeable. We'll hear more about that from Mike Orth, the dean of the College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences up at UW-River Falls. And it's a Thursday, so I see my friend Cody Koster from EverAg is on the hit list. He's going to bring us everything he knows about what's happening in the dairy markets. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage and get ready to join us for all the fun.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
We're getting ready for the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival kicking off on Friday at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Jefferson. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. This is one of the largest shows of its kind in the U.S., welcoming vendors, exhibitors, and animals from across the country. And it gives attendees a chance to explore the sheep industry from start to finish. Baby lambs will be in attendance, as well as the products that come from these animals, like the fiber arts. Hedge Becker joins us in studio. She's the assistant festival coordinator, transitioning into the lead role as Bob Black plans his retirement. But she's not the only new face you'll meet at this year's show. The Lester Longwools are a new addition for sheep enthusiasts.
The Lester Longwools are sheep breeding association is coming and having a card grading event. It is the first of its kind in the Midwest. It's not a show like you might be used to seeing a sheep show, but it's a evaluation where the sheep are exhibited. They're turned loose in a ring and evaluated by a national panel of three judges. Each of these judges focus on a separate trait or breed characteristic, and they are evaluating them against the breed perfection. And so they're trying to keep this a heritage breed. They're trying to keep it going. And so they are trying to breed for the absolute best traits in that breed.
And you had a little fun history fact for us about the Lester Longwool.
I did. It was actually developed in England in the 1700s, but the George Washington and Thomas Jefferson both kept Lester Longwools. One of the things that we have this year is you can actually come listen to a little talk about the history of the Lester Longwools in American history.
There are so many educational sessions to attend, and it also follows along with some of the pressing issues in agriculture today. I mean, you guys are touching on the sheep and fiber industry's role with renewable energy like solar. You're talking about alternative markets, maybe value-add markets for producers. So it really runs the gamut, and it's timely information.
Yes, one of our other producer education seminars is about actually keeping sheep under the solar panels and melding those two industries.
Dairy sheep also make an appearance.
Oh, my gosh, yes. We have milking, sheep milking demonstrations. We are all used to go into the big dairy thing, but it's pretty cool to watch sheep get milked. So we do have sheep milking demonstrations. We have a free seminar about the dairy industry, how to get into it. I think for me, doing this event and working on this event, the most amazing thing is that sheep do everything. They have dairy, they have meat, we have wool, and we couldn't really have a show that is this diverse with any other animal that we currently like raise for production, that it touches everything.
And really, you get to experience the whole life cycle of sheep at the festival. You're seeing baby lambs, but you're also seeing the animal post-harvest, as you said, meat, sheep. One of the ways you do this is through the carcass competition called Pen of Three.
So the Pen of Three competition takes place on Sunday. What it does is it allows for producers to actually have their lambs graded by the University of Wisconsin, the UW, and they'll get back a lot of really technical information about their lambs. Exactly, you know, how much muscle do they have? How much fat? And it really allows them to take this very technical information and make their whole herd better.
There's also a lamb cooking demonstration, not with the Pen of Three carcass competitors, but different animals. But that's something to look forward to.
Yes. Chef Paul Short from Madison College is going to be coming in and doing a lamb cooking demo. That's going to be in the activity center on Sunday. Also free. I think lamb is something that a lot of home cooks think is really daunting. We tend to get it when we go out, but we're a little worried about doing it at home, whether we're afraid to ruin it because it's expensive or we've just never really had it in our lives. But Chef Paul Short is fantastic. He takes all of those fears away. And it is, I got a couple bites last year. It is delicious.
That might become my new favorite, but Hedge, honestly, my all-time favorite part of the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival is to watch the Crook and Whistle stock dog trials. I just love the communication between human and animal. And I mean, it's just...
The synergy is amazing, isn't it?
It's incredible. For people who have not been to that, what can they expect?
So we have 125 dogs this year with 59 handlers. They have 3 days of intense competition. So, and actually this is their 20th year with us. So this is a milestone year. It's really exciting. Every stock dog trainer has a different mode of communication. A lot of times they use these little whistles and it's telling their dogs left, right, whatever. And so there's a bunch of really ornery sheep. I swear, I joke, they get the most ornery ones each year. But and the whole idea is that they're turned loose and that shepherd needs to make sure their dog collects them all and gets them back into their pen in, you know, the shortest amount of time possible. It's amazing to watch.
It is. And again, there's something for everyone at the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival. Lots of animals, too. We haven't talked about the sheep shows yet. Hedge, I'd like you to speak to watching the exhibitors because they're also coming from around the country. You're getting hundreds of entries.
Yeah, we have just close to 1,000 entries right now from 10 different states and as far away as Delaware. I got to tell you, watching a 6 or 7 year old actually show these little tiny lambs, it is heartwarming and it's amazing because you can just see the future of the sheep industry grow up right in front of your eyes as you're watching them. It's really cool. We have about 600 sheep at any time on the premises. So whether you're into showing or you're into the fiber arts and you just want to see these really great animals, get to talk to the people who actually raise them, you have so many opportunities.
Whenever I see a little one showing an animal in the ring, I'm always thinking, our future's in good hands, I think.
Oh my gosh. It is just, yeah, I could sit and watch them all day.
And after all of that, maybe you have some money burning a hole in your pocket. another it's notable because I think it's like one of the largest vendor markets of its kind in our area.
Definitely in our area. I actually think it's probably in the top five in the United States. There's not really too many larger than us, and they tend to be East Coast, where they have a lot more people than us. So we have 120 vendors from across the country, 80 plus fiber arts classes. What I am really proud of is the fact that Wisconsin Sheep and Wool is very curated. We very much, it's run by the Wisconsin Sheep Breeders Cooperative. We think Wisconsin forward, then Midwest, and American fiber first. Like this, these are the things that we go for. So you are not going to see a lot of imports from other countries. I'm not saying that we don't have any, but what I'm saying is that it is definitely not our concentration. It's not our curation for what we're looking for. So we have over 40 instructors from 11 states that come. We have close to 500 students coming and taking classes, and most of them average more than one class. So we have almost 1,000 seats that are going to be filled by students this year.
Had you and I really only scratched the surface on what we look forward to at the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival. You can find the entire event schedule at WisconsinSheepAndWoolFestival.com. That's also where you can find information on tickets, parking, and food options available on grounds. Hedge, what are you expecting for attendance this year?
Attendance has been up every year, especially since COVID. That was kind of a weird little flux. We're expecting about 6,500 visitors for the 3 days. And as long as the weather is with us, we actually are crossing our fingers. We'll be able to say that we had another banner year, another best year.
The Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival happening September 6th through the 8th at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Jefferson. Hedge Becker is the assistant festival coordinator, and she's set to take on the director role in a few years. Again, you can visit WisconsinSheepAndWoolFestival.com. That's where you can get the details on the events, food, and shopping experiences that the show has to offer. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Ithaca's choice for news, talk, and sports. News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other Great Link products. Our backpack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE. And on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Happy Labor Day to you. So there are companies out there who do value the worker, but there are a lot who still don't. And that's why I think it's so important to stop today and remember those who fought so hard and what this day is about. Yes, go out, have a beer, have a brat, enjoy it. But take a minute to pause, reflect, and say thanks to all those people who sacrificed for working people.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident you're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we do our popcorn pick of the week with Laughing Mountain Popcorn. Greg Vadney talks this weekend's Sputnik Fest, and Ian O'Connor discusses his new book about Aaron Rodgers.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
Yeah, and if you're up in the north, Osage Park Falls, a little light rain starting the day.
Okay, all right. Now, listen, I mean, we'll get to the Thursday forecast, but I've got that Packers watch party at my place up in Green Bay tomorrow afternoon starting at about 5. I know we're going to be cooler tomorrow, but are we going to stay dry?
We should. There is just a very slight chance, though, tomorrow afternoon of a little scattered shower. It's really slight. If I were a real betting man, I wouldn't worry about
it. Okay, peachy, because they're expecting 100 people, and they did not, at least the last I heard, there was not going to be a tent, per se. So thinking about 100 of my new best friends huddling in my house, it just something that Buck and I were talking about last night, you know what I'm saying?
I figure they're expecting on you to have that tent put up just because.
Well, we've got Hey, listen, you know my husband, we got enough field canopies. We can have them stationed at 4 different locations around the yard, but like I said, 100 is maybe just a little bit more than we were thinking of, but that's all right. So, you know, like you said, the question mark today is who's going to get the rain, and really, my rain gauge guys are going to have to run around in a circle to get anything measurable, aren't they?
It's looking a little difficult. I mean, where rain has fallen in parts of Minnesota, I'm seeing under a tenth of an inch. Mm. So just not working out to be a great deal. But a cool front has dropped in, and it's making its way into northwest Wisconsin this morning. That front extends back towards South Dakota. It will drop south and southeast during the day. The band of precipitation lining up from the western parts of the UP, Houghton, way up on that northern peak, and back down toward the Twin Cities. And then there's a secondary wave on the end of Lake Superior, just over far northwest Wisconsin into central Minnesota. None of it's been that heavy, and I expect that will march east and southeast across the state today. And we're talking rain amounts maybe up to a tenth of an inch or two. That could be about the extent. The rain chance will be ending in the east and southeast tonight and drying out. But as I mentioned, one more little weak wave drops in, that slight shower chance late Friday afternoon, and otherwise skies clear out and it cools off. In some parts of central Wisconsin, that Friday night into the upper 30s, a possibility. A cool way to get the weekend underway. Sunny and drier for the weekend right into next week, right through midweek. Plenty of sunshine, no real rain threats around. Those temperatures will be cool over the weekend. They warm up, in fact, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, back up toward the very upper 70s and low 80s. That's above normal once again. So that warm air, we get a break from it this weekend. It returns next week, and the summer weather will continue. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Back to school. Whether you're jumping on a yellow school bus or put that backpack on headed to campus, Bavaria Sausage is thinking about you. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke reminding you, want to keep it simple? Do all your shopping online. BavariaSausage.com. There's a brand new website in development, so check back often and see what they've got. I know what they've got right now. Some really healthy snacks that can be included in those lunch boxes or tucked into that backpack for studying enjoyment. Those Lawn Yoggers, new flavors available all the time. And listen, if you're one of the folks dropping the kids off, you want to make life a little simpler, one brand new product that's available at the Fitchburg location, some pre-cut chicken breasts. It's all about an evolving menu that they're working on at Bavaria Sausage. So like I said, check back often at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, if you're in the area, or online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. BavariaSausage.com. Tell them the Farm Babe sent ya. All right, buddy, let's have some more details on who's going to be in the lucky area for rainfall and who's not.
Well, I think we all get a little bit today, Pam. Lucky, you know, a tenth of an inch or two about it, but it's already started in the northwest. It will push east and southeast through the day. Clouds develop around the rain, even clearing up a bit later on in the far northwest. Oh, I expect a lot of upper 70s, maybe an 80 at Madison and areas south. South winds become northwest with the passage of the front today, about 5 to 10. A slight chance of a little rain lingering in the east and southeast yet this evening. Mostly cloudy overnight, starting to clear a bit. Oh, low 50s, very low 50s. North winds 5 to 10. Friday, mostly sunny. That slight rain chance late in the day, mid-60s, a few upper 60s here and there with a north breeze. And sunny on Saturday, Pam, mid-60s about the best. There'll be lower 60s further north, north winds 5 to 10, and starting to turn around a little bit for Sunday, but 80s again next week.
Just got an update on our talk text line. Mitch says he got about 100 acres of corn silage chopped already. So at least we know for anybody that's decided to begin that process, they're not going to get kicked out of the fields because of the weather yet.
No, not going to get shut down. Maybe while it's sprinkling, and that's about it.
Yeah, well, we can handle just sprinkles. All right, buddy, good enough. We'll catch up with you tomorrow and see what we end up with in the old rain bucket.
Sounds good. We'll catch you then.
All right. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, along with us this morning. Rainfall reporters, so you're on alert. Don't forget our talk text line to let me know what you end up in those rain gauges. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
News from the center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
Richland County's choice for news, talk, and sports.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Hey, everybody, join us all this week for Todd and Phil's Just a Bit Outside Text to Win Contest. Brewer tickets for a game later in September, and also two tickets to attend the VIP world premiere of Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 82 Brewers, includes an overnight stay at a hotel and a $100 quick trip gas card. Be here.
The Todd Almaz Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Just a Bit Outside.
Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time. I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is a special report from ABC News, Georgia high school shooting. I'm Michelle Franzen. Authorities in Winder will provide an update on today's shooting at Appalachie High School. Multiple law enforcement officials tell ABC News four people are dead, nine others injured after a gunman opened fire this morning, and say the suspect is a 14-year-old student. Shirley, a senior, says the normal day quickly turned to panic.
I heard some gunshots, and it appeared to be like they were like...
16-year-old Layla says when the lockdown light went on in her class, her classmates huddled.
My classmates and I actually barricaded our door. We stacked desks and chairs to try and just help, and we were all just scared at this moment, and my teacher, she was also scared as well.
Vice President Kamala Harris denouncing the gun violence and called for reasonable gun safety laws. Former President Trump at a post blaming what he called a sick and deranged monster for the shooting and offered condolences. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The mayor of Waukesha is condemning a campaign ad that tries to link Senator Tammy Baldwin with the deaths of six people at the Waukesha Christmas Parade in 2021. Daryl Brooks Jr. was free on $1,000 bail at the time. Sean Riley says the claims in the ad are false and that they hurt the entire community. About 50,000 older people in Wisconsin can expect big savings on their prescriptions next year. Starting January 1st, out-of-pocket drug costs will be capped at $2,000 a year for people on Medicare Part D.
We have older Wisconsinites that are choosing either limiting their supply of their prescriptions, or they literally are taking resources that are used to pay for other essentials.
David Bowen is with AARP Wisconsin. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The NFL season begins tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Tonight, the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs kick off the season. Tomorrow night, it'll be the Green Bay Packers versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Quarterback Jordan Love is entering his second season as a starter and is excited for the opportunity to open the year in Brazil.
Yeah, I'm excited. I definitely think it's a very cool opportunity to be able to play in front of a fan base who a lot of those people might not have seen the NFL game, might be the first NFL game. So I'm excited for it. And like you said, first one, so it'll be very exciting.
Kickoff for the Packers and Eagles is after 7 p.m. tomorrow night. For the third time in four games, the Milwaukee Brewers had to play a game in extra innings, and in all three of those games, including last night, the Brewers lost. The St. Louis Cardinals took the game in 10 innings with a 3-2 win. The Brewers are off today before playing a three-game home series against Colorado this weekend. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Todd Albaugh.
Everybody join us next time President Joe Biden visits Westby, Wisconsin. In the Southwest, we will cover it for you. Have your phone calls as well. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny with a chance of an isolated thunderstorm this afternoon. Our high today, 81, with wind south to west at 5 to 15. Tonight, 53. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Fall-like, 68 Saturday. Sunshine, 66 by Sunday. Sunny with a high back to 72. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Hey there. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking to the people who have savings and investments. I want to encourage you to check in on your accounts about more than just your returns. Also check the fees that you're paying. Look, investing is never free, but there are all kinds of fees that can show up on statements, and they can really eat up your profits over time. I mean, a 1% fee sounds downright cheap, right? But if you only expect a 7% long-term return on your investment, which is a moderate and reasonable amount, that 1% is going to slow your investment growth and take a big bite of its value when you get to retirement. If you've got questions about fees, call your broker or your bank. Ask how the fees are affecting your returns, and if you don't like the answer, you can move your money to someplace with lower fees. Check out workmoney.org for more money tips. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on News from the Center. 107.7 FM and 1450 AM WRCE and on the Civic Media app. Matinair on Air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matinair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
No, it's on Peacock. It's streaming.
Welcome back. You know, if I leave you with only one piece of information on a Thursday morning, let it be this, that our Wisconsin farmers, no matter what they're growing, are really in a jam as far as the economic pressure they're under. Corn and soybean prices they're being paid have eroded since they planted the crop this spring. Our dairy industry continues to struggle. Even our beef producers, although you're seeing prices go up at the grocery store, boy, the margins for those beef producers are still plenty tight. So know that as those farmers get ready to harvest, the opportunity for profitability pretty thin. We're going to be talking about that a little bit this morning with Cody Koster, broker analyst with EverAg out of Michigan. He's going to be joining us live, and we're going to take a closer look at what's been driving our dairy markets lately. And like I said, if I leave you with only one item, know that our Wisconsin farmers, no matter what they're growing, are not in a good place economically. Nobody else is talking about that. Everybody else focused in on things like politics and what's going on in their neighborhood. Well, here on the Farm Show, we want to make that message clear. Think about our farmers as they get ready for the harvest to begin. I'm Pam Yonke, by the way. Glad to have you along with us, despite that ominous message. So what is it? Today is the 5th day of September. What can I tell you? Hey, hands in the air. How many of you out there remember when Jerry Lewis used to host the Muscular Dystrophy Telethon? Used to be Labor Day weekend, actually all weekend long. I remember as a kid watching it in front of the big RCA TV at the farm when he had all kinds of live guests, live performances, and it was a 24-hour telethon. So that actually started on this day back in 1966. I looked it up. The last time that Jerry Lewis did the telethon was actually in 2010 because of health issues. They ended it all together in 2015. I don't know. Maybe that's old school. But Jerry Lewis and the Muscular Dystrophy Telethon started on this day back in 1966. Happy birthday this morning to actor Michael Keaton. He is 73 years young, and now you know. Of course, I know your schedule has been adjusted this week because kids are back in school. Now your life revolves around the yellow school buses, after-school activities, etc. Our UW campuses are back active as well. Here on the Farm Show, we want to make sure we're focused in on how things are getting off to a start on our agriculture campuses. Charity Seebecker joins us for a trip to the Northwest and my alma mater, UW River Falls.
With the fall semester starting, UW-River Falls College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences is ready for another year of hands-on education, shaping the next generation of our agricultural leaders. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and even though enrollment hasn't changed much, CAF's Dean Mike Orth shares that interest in important agriculture programs is picking up.
So basically, in the last couple years, the enrollment in the college looks like it's been about flat. So no real big changes. The most popular majors we have are going to be our companion animal science and equine science. And we started an environmental engineering program. And although the numbers are small, those numbers are increasing as well. maybe a little bit of a downturn recently in the ag economics area. Other than that, most of the programs have been staying fairly steady.
So which agriculture-related majors then are currently the most popular among your incoming students? You mentioned you've got a lot of these trends that you're seeing, but are those trends with just your current students or those that are incoming as well?
Yeah, so I would say it's been, well, the companion animal science program is relatively new, I would say, in the last eight years or so. But that is really a popular program, in particular because a lot of the pre-vet students are interested in companion animals, especially because we get a lot of students from the Twin Cities area, Minneapolis, and a lot of them don't have the farm background. They want to be a vet, so they tend to have more of an interest in dogs and cats. And again, the equine program, being the only one in the state, we're the only school that has an equine farm, that's been very popular. And in particular, with a new program that started is we have a ranch horse program and kind of group that's gotten going, and that's very popular across the country right now. So those in particular have garnered a lot of interest.
You also have the farm and industry short course there. So how are those numbers looking for this year?
The farm and industry short course, so we've done it for 1 year now. We had nine in the first group, nine participants. Six of them actually graduated. For this coming year in October, we're going to have at least 12, if not more. And we expect those numbers to go up. We didn't really have much support financially in the first year, but we now have some support that's been set aside, and we have the professional dairy producers that's getting behind the program, and we look to do more marketing and advertising. So we expect the numbers to go up this year, but then in the next couple years to increase considerably.
You highlighted one of your newer programs, but are there any other new programs or majors being introduced this year or plans for future programs that kind of align with these trends that you mentioned?
Right. So I mentioned a little bit about the environmental engineering is relatively new. It's an accredited program. The other one we just had approved was community and environmental planning. It was part of another program, and that's kind of branching off on its own. So we have a faculty member who's very excited about it, getting that up and running. Again, we think that program could garner a lot of interest. So that's our most recent program that we started.
Have you noticed any shifts in the demographics of the students that are enrolling in agriculture programs at UW-River Falls, maybe even just more students from urban areas versus rural, or what are you seeing?
Well, I think there are more from urban areas. I will tell you right now, the big shift we have is the number of males that are going to college, and in particular from rural areas. And I think part of that is, well, there's probably a couple things going on, but, you know, the overall number of high school students that are graduating is going down. But in particular, males are not attending college at the same rate. It's not bad for them in the sense a lot of them are getting their community college degrees. They're going to trade schools. They're developing certain skills. And so they're getting into the workforce earlier. So they're not taking the time to get a four-year degree, but maybe a two-year degree of some specialties and going that route. So really, the big demographic shift that's been happening for a while now, and really you can see it in agriculture, is fewer males going to get a four-year degree.
We talked about the different majors, but I'm curious then, with this shift that you're seeing, what majors are they gravitating to?
So they would be more like on the animal science side. They would be the engineering group. Some would be in the plant nurse sciences. You would not see them in the pre-vet group. You would not see them in the companion animal science group. So they would be, you would find them more in the traditional ag-type programs, the male students who are coming.
As the new semester unfolds, it's clear that UW-River Falls is buzzing with excitement and opportunity. And the dean of the College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences, Mike Orth, says he and his team are ready to guide students through another fantastic year. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker. Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
All righty. Welcome back on a Thursday morning. Ben Jarboe is in studio with me this morning with a quick look at the markets. What do you see happening on the screen so far this morning, Ben? Last time I looked, it was pretty red.
Yeah, I mean, after a strong weekend here, the cash crop corn is trading at 389, which is down 1.5, which is a little unfortunate. The new crop corn is at 411.25, down 1.5. But September soybeans, those are trading at 1006, and that's up 9. November soybeans are 10.14.75, down 6.75. September wheat's trading at 5.63.75, down 1.5. Class 3 milk contracts for September are at 22.62, which is down a penny. And October class 3 milk contracts are at 22.78 hundredweight, down 22 cents. And barrels of cheese, those went down a little bit. They're at 2.25, down 1. 40-pound blocks of cheese are at 223, up 1.5. And butter is at 314.75, down 1/2.
All right, so a little bit on the soft side as we get started this morning. What do those numbers mean, and why should you be paying attention? We're talking about it next with our friend Cody Koster from EverAg. Stick around.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From Hillsboro to Highland, your choice for news, talk, and sports is News from the Center, WRCE, 1450 AM and 107.7 FM.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a last-ditch effort to purge voters in the swing state of North Carolina, the GOP has sued the state election board and state superior court to examine the eligibility of 225,000 voters just days before early voting begins. The Republican National Committee and North Carolina Republican Party are questioning the eligibility of voters who, when filling out a state voter registration form, did not include their driver's license and last four Social Security digits because the form didn't mark the fields as required. The form was corrected in December 2023. The GOP is demanding that the State Elections Board contact all 225,000 affected voters, but the board has refused, arguing that challenge came too late and that North Carolina's stringent absentee and in-person voter ID requirements will mitigate any chance of illegal voting. September 3rd, the Democratic National Committee asked to intervene in the case. The Federal Help America Vote Act stipulates that any voter registration purges must occur 90 days before the election. Similar suits were filed in Pennsylvania and Arizona earlier this summer, attempting to find registration flaws and to root out registered non-citizens. Non-citizen voter registration does infrequently happen, but rarely results in non-citizens actually voting. We've linked to great local reporting and the groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Bach, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident you're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane, Matt Nair, and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us for a discussion on what's going on in her campaign for Congress. We also have J.R. Radcliffe with sports and weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
As the weather out west, that's kind of been a newsmaker for a lot of people in the dairy industry, right?
Yeah, we've seen, triple digits out on the west coast again this week, and I don't know if it's supposed to subside into this weekend and get a little bit better next week or not, but right now, very hot and very dry out in the California area.
Boy, and I'll tell you, that has been their mantra all year long. I just came back from a farm tour in Alaska, and I talked to a lady that was going back to Arizona, and she was just grimacing because she said there wasn't a forecast for temperatures below 110 any day of the following week. We know that forced a lot of cattle movements out of New Mexico, for example. What's shaking then on the West Coast with this latest heat pop, Cody?
I mean, from everyone that we talked to, more down on milk production on the West Coast. We've got cattle that are kind of changing hands here and there. And then you get to the Midwest, like we were just talking about, and we've got 51 degrees here in Michigan this morning. So it is quite the contrast from coast to coast at this point in time.
And that weather, well, we are obviously here in the Midwest happy that our cows are a lot more comfortable than those on the West Coast. It is inspiring some of our farmers to get moving a little bit on the harvest. You said that's kind of surprising you, especially in Michigan.
Yeah, I think this year, just the weather, like the rain in itself has really allowed guys to get out in the field. I had a gentleman call me yesterday. He's already got 500 acres of silage done, and I think the first week of September is a little bit shocking for the Midwest for getting silage done. But like everyone has said, the corn crop just seems to be a bumper crop this year, and they're getting out there and getting things harvested, I mean, right now. And if the rain holds off, there's people that are talking about being done by the time October rolls around. Hmm. Usually some folks are just kind of getting started at that point in time.
Now, is it because they need the feed, Cody, or is it just like you said, it's presenting itself so they're taking advantage?
The people that I've talked to, it's just literally presented itself and they're taking the advantage. I mean, the feed, I think, is plentiful out there. There's still guys that have some from last year on slabs. So it's not like a necessity to get out there and do it. It's just like, hey, the weather is giving us this break. There's no rain. It's not wet. Let's try to get out there before we have to mud everything in. And I just couldn't believe it was this early in the year that we were talking about corn harvest already.
Well, like you said, Michigan and Indiana might have a little different weather conditions than Wisconsin, but you're on the right track. Cody Koster is joining us live this morning here on the Midwest Farm Report. He's a broker analyst with EverAg. I do want to remind you about their website. That's ever.ag. If you want to find any of their risk management providers, just like Cody, all across the United States. So, Cody, let's talk a little bit about what's been driving our dairy markets lately. For example, the barrel block cheese price have been going in opposite directions every once in a while. And now I'm starting to wonder if we're beginning to feel any momentum at all for the holiday buys. Give me a sense of what you saw in the most recent auction.
Yes. So we've had the barrel valued over the block for, I'd say, since mid-July. So it's been a little bit inverse. Usually the block is valued over the barrel by about 3.5 to 4 cents. And what I think they're going to try to do this week, Ben, is they're going to try to narrow that that gap at about $2.25, which if you look on a chart, there is a gap right there. And then once we get the block and the barrel at 2.25, I think we're really going to have to sit back and say, okay, we had an all-around negative GDT on Tuesday. Cheese was still positive for cheddar and mozzarella. We've got schools in session. We've got football coming up. So the time of the year for more buying is going to be taking place here soon. And I think from that 225 number, we might still get a little bit more lift on the upside in prices. But that gap is going to have to be narrowed. And then folks in the industry are going to have to say, okay, are we going to start making more shreds? Are we going to start making more barrels? Which product is truly going to lead the way going into the end of the year now? But I think that $2.25 number is going to probably get sold and settled on at least by tomorrow.
That's interesting. Last time you and I talked, you said we just need to try to hold that floor of at least $2. We've been able to do that. Is this the beginning of a bullish cycle, Cody?
I think it is. There's some folks that were saying, well, maybe $1.80 is kind of the low. We can hold that line and maybe charge ourselves a little bit higher. But I think since last time that you and I talked, Bam, we've been above $2 cheese on average. We've had our lows, we've had our highs, but net-net, we've still been above $2. And it seems like we're going to kind of trend in that direction for a little bit of time. I think $2.40 was the number that I threw out last time, where if you look at a chart, that was the high of 2022 when we saw that massive run up. And I'm not saying it's completely out of the works right now, but we've still got to get to 225. and settle there, in my opinion, before we go to 240.
All right. Well, and fair enough. Are we beginning to give me your sense on the holiday buys so far, Cody? Are retailers ready to come into the market and get those holiday gift boxes? You know, all the food arrangements, like you said, football. Are they coming in? Are they able to handle this, or are we going to have to come down?
No, the school buy and the football buy, like the pizzas and such, I think are coming in right now because you've got that time frame right ahead of us. The holiday buys, I believe we're going to see those more in the October type time frame because you don't want to get everything ordered way ahead of time and then have it trucked and have it sitting on shelves and just kind of waiting there. You want to try to timely buy it as we get into those holiday seasons. And I think beginning to mid of October, you're going to start seeing it for Thanksgiving. And then at the end of October, you're definitely going to see it for the Christmas holiday, at least on the buying side. But let's not discount the schools getting back in session. I mean, that is a lot of fluid milk that is going to be transferred throughout the country for the kids to drink. And then, like we mentioned, pizzas. Football season, we've got 20 to 21 weeks of nonstop football for the next, you know, that many weeks in time here. That's a lot of pizzas to be consumed.
Yeah, and I'll take it. I'll take it all. Thanks, Cody. Appreciate it, buddy. Sorry we're tight on time. Cody Koster joining us live from his office in Michigan on a Thursday morning. He's part of the EverAg crew. Find him again online, ever.ag. We'll catch up with you tomorrow morning, folks. Have a great day.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Profiling Protect the Harvest, a defender of the rights of farmers and ranchers, today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Protect the Harvest is an organization dedicated to preserving and defending the rights of farmers and ranchers to have and use animals and natural resources. It was founded in 2011, and Tom Siemens is the executive director.
We do try to focus ourselves on the things that represent a free and fed America, so property rights, land rights, animal usage, the farmers, ranchers, wildlife enthusiasts, hunters. We even get into Western lifestyle. You know, there's a rodeo band going on now out of L.A. that we've been involved with that has a lot of consternation about, again, it's virtue signaling. They think they're doing the right thing, but there's so many unforeseen consequences with things like that.
Protect the Harvest steps up to challenge the actions of animal rights groups and related organizations, and, says Siemens, even some instances when government overreach may be a factor.
I take my hat off to every organization out there trying to do what we're trying to do, because we're few and far between. There's not many of us. But a lot of our funding comes in from grassroots, and then every once in a while we will see some folks that say, you are really important to our industry, we can't lose you, and there may be a larger contribution.
Siemens was featured in a recent episode of the Ag Queen podcast. You can learn more on that and about Protect the Harvest at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we do our popcorn pick of the week with Laughing Mountain Popcorn. Greg Badney talks this weekend's Sputnik Fest, and Ian O'Connor discusses his new book about Aaron Rodgers.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WR.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.